Hey, this is Christian with the Most High Show, and today with me is Suleiman from Soldiers for Recovery. If you've seen his Instagram content, you know that this guy is on fire for recovery. By all means necessary today, don't use. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about recovery, God, Kensington, or what's also known as the Badlands in North Philly. It's some good stuff, so check it out. This is The Most High Show.
Welcome to The Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is The Most High Show.
One, you know, one thing that I was thinking of, and I actually used this an example when you shared your story, and I want you to start with this, because you used this example of when it was just you and God,
right?
And I have someone I'm working with who had that moment and called everybody. No one picked up, and he made the decision to go to the liquor store.
Right.
And I said, well, you remember that? Do you remember that story? So can you tell me that story about when you heard that in early recovery, that it was just you and God?
Oh, man, that I had got out of rehab, and I was still working, because I still worked for the school board at the time. Mm-hmm. So I got out of rehab right before school started. And so I went to work and I got my first check. This was 2 weeks after rehab.
Right.
And it was a moment that, man, it was very difficult for my first week home. Like, I had altogether about 45 days clean. So I got my first check and I'm like, okay, immediately, the tools that I've learned while I was in rehab, I put them to use.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to automatically change your thinking, you have to automatically play the tape. So I did all this on my way home from my job, which was in South Philly. And I lived at the time in Southwest Philly. So I came home, because at that time of traveling, I still was battling with myself, because I'm catching the same buses, the trains, where I used to get on to go to the what they call the Badlands, Kensington area of Philadelphia, where I would get my drugs. So I made it home.
Right, but this trip home, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because your head's playing out all the scenarios, and all you got to do is go an extra two stops or whatever, right?
Yep, so.
So this is a battle, and you win that battle, you get home.
I win that battle.
Yeah.
I get home, but the battle had just begun.
Yeah.
So when I got home, I immediately used, you know, the tool belt. I reached down in the tool belt. The first thing they say to do was call somebody.
Yeah.
I called my wife. She didn't answer. I called my sponsor. He didn't answer. I called my a brother who supported me, who had just passed on. May he rest in peace. He didn't answer. And it was at that moment I knew it was me and God.
Yeah.
And it was like clear as day. Am I going to choose the road of God, of my understanding, or am I going to choose the flesh and go ahead and relapse?
Right.
And I sat there and I cried.
Yeah.
I cried, and this was the first time that I ever cried, not because I picked up and used, it's because I didn't want to use, and I chose God that day.
Right, yeah.
And that's what pulled me through it, because it was like God was talking to me like, hey, listen, it's me and you. What do you want to do? What do you, and I was crying because I wanted to get high so bad.
Yeah.
But I knew if I took that route,
What was going to happen?
The tool, you know, that I learned was play the tape, and it just happened like one, two, three. I played the tape. I cried, and I played the other tape, and everything went. But I was crying because it was like a roller coaster, and I was holding on for my dear life.
Yeah.
To God.
Yeah.
And it was rough. It was a rough ride, but God kept saying, you hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And I held on. And after about 15 minutes, I went to go pray, and I felt good.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that cravings, because that's what you had.
Yeah, a strong one.
So at 45 days, you're still having a physiological response to it's a physical craving and a mental craving.
Mental.
It was everything.
Everything.
But if we can last through that time, physical craving will eventually go away.
Absolutely, but this happened to me twice.
Yeah.
I went through that same thing twice.
Yeah.
And I cried every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
You know, but see, a lot of people think that they can just recover, or you get 45 days, you get 30 days, six months, and it just happens. No. Right. No, like a magic wand, just say, boom, you're cured. No.
Right.
It's going to be moments that God is going to put you in, and it's going to be you or him.
Yeah.
No one's going to pick up the phone.
Right.
No one's going to be around. It's just going to be you and God.
Yeah.
And that's why I always tell people, this is a spiritual walk.
Yeah.
I don't care what you believe in.
Right.
It could be a shoe. If you believe in that shoe, you hold on to that shoe.
Right.
If you believe in something unseen, you hold on with both arms and both legs.
Yeah.
Because had I not held on to God that day, I would have went.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go so bad, but I didn't
want
to go. I wanted to go, but I didn't. I wanted to believe and trust that God got me.
Yeah.
And I put my hope and strength into him, and it got me through those moments.
Yeah. Well, it's really that's the third step, come alive.
Absolutely.
Made a decision to give our will and our lives, right? Our
Absolutely.
Thoughts and our actions Absolutely. Over to God as we understand it, right? And that's exactly what that is. That was you living out that third step. And then even I think it's in the seventh step, there's some literature that talks about that there are moments when the fellowship isn't going to do it.
Right.
And that's the thing, is if you don't have that connection to a higher power, if you haven't fostered that, you haven't worked on that, you don't have empirical evidence like you do now.
Right.
Which is, you have evidence that when you turn your life and will over to God, as you understand it, right, that it works out better for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I also tell, people that it's not going to be easy.
Right.
Just because you turn your will over to God doesn't mean you won't be tested.
Right.
You will be tested. God is going to test us with this disease for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the good side. It makes you a stronger, better person.
Yeah.
Because had you not had these tests, how are you going to teach the next one under you that's struggling with this disease of addiction if you haven't experienced rock bottom or have experienced the power of God?
Right. That's it. And I think what's interesting about early recovery is there's this concept of dependency on God, right? And for a lot of us growing up, living our lives, we were taught from our childhood, from running the streets, you don't depend on anyone. Because when you depend on people, they let you down.
Absolutely.
And so for a lot of us, drugs, we became dependent on drugs because that was the only thing we could depend on. We knew that if I took this, then I would feel this way.
Everything goes away.
Everything goes
Everything goes away.
Every time.
Yeah.
Right. And my buddy James says that 100% of the time that he gives his will over to God, it works out better for him. But almost 100% of the time, he has a hard time giving his will over to
That's
God.
Powerful. That's powerful.
It's powerful.
That's very powerful. I also learned something from my mentor. He's a barber out of Philadelphia. He told me the reason why people fail at whatever they do. Mm-hmm. It can be recovery. It can just be with life. It can be with, you know, whatever you're dealing with at the time. It can be a test. It can be school. It can be whatever you're going through. He said, the problem is, and people look straight and deal with their problems straight on instead of looking up.
Yeah.
He said, most people, he said, when you look up, things become clear.
Yeah.
And then you put your hands up to God, not the people. He said, then you don't worry about nothing else.
Right.
He said, by the time you look back down, everything in front of you, God is going to put things in perspective.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that I've came across, a lot of people that DM me, a lot of people that relapse. You know, I just had a phone call recently last week. Mm-hmm. And this individual was looking for help from other people. I said, the help is with you and God.
Yeah.
All I can do is give you advice. See, you're looking straight on at me, but you got to go through God first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then come down, and then God will give you the answer. He's going to give you the directions. You can't look. People go into rehab, out of rehab, and they do this multiple times. It's because you're looking for the cure through the people.
Right.
You have to ask God to inspire you to get through these step works.
Yeah.
You have to ask God to inspire you when that craving comes to get you through it. Because I'm not you and you're not me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to develop that relationship with God first.
Yeah.
And then he's going to give you that strength. Because had I not had a relationship with God during those moments and prior to those moments, because even when I was using, I prayed.
Yeah.
My wife and kids will tell you.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law will tell you. I prayed. I prayed. I never stopped praying. I wasn't consistent as I am now, but I never did. But had I not had that connection, I don't think I would be here today.
Yeah. Well, the same thing for me, too. I mean, I had a spiritual experience in 1998, but I never did any of the internal work.
Mm-hmm.
I never acknowledged I was an addict.
Mm.
You know, and so after a few years, I thought, well, I can drink, right? Because it's okay to drink.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long. I mean, from when I started drinking to when I was back doing drugs, you know. But what's interesting is that I never got to a point where I ever felt like God wasn't there.
Right.
Right. Like I always knew God was.
Yeah.
Right. I just wasn't I wasn't acting like it. Right.
Absolutely.
And so it was a fundamental thing that when I, after rehab myself, like, and having that time away from the drugs and getting removed from the situation where drugs were no longer an option for me, then it became clear that I was this child of God acting like I wasn't.
Right.
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 And I began to kind of see myself as who I really am.
Right.
Who I always was. Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's, you know. It's a key principle, especially for the steps, right? Like the steps talks about this in a lot of different literature, but that, you know, there's got to be a power greater than yourself to restore the alcoholic mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We try everything.
Absolutely.
This power greater than us is the thing that's the difference.
Absolutely.
It's the key. And, you know, I know people find recovery in other ways. But for you and me both, that's how we found it.
Right.
That's a key thing. So, yeah, that's a great. I love that story, man. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And with your permission, I keep using it. I don't have to use your name, but
no, absolutely. Yeah. It's your listen. Words in the universe, we don't own.
Right.
We don't own none of this. We don't own nothing. The things that we have are loans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loans by God. Like, I don't, you know, people could coin it, pen it, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That's what man thinks they contribute.
Right.
Those aren't my words. I don't own them. I just spoke them, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, they're for you. They're for him. They're for everybody in this room.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But people, you know, I don't know. But I just, you know, I am so grateful. You know, I just came up on 6 years.
Yeah, man. Congratulations.
6 years, man. Thank you. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. And I tell people all the time, how'd you do it, this and that? One day at a time.
That's right.
That's it. one day at a time. What I do today is going to, you know, define me tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I take it one day at a time. My father used to say, son, all you got is one day. During my active addiction, I would get 2 weeks. I'd be like, hey, Dad, I got 2 weeks. He said, son, you ain't got nothing. All you got is one day.
Yeah.
You know, then when I had when I really took recovery seriously and I had 1 year, he said the same thing. Son, you ain't got nothing. All you got is one day. And that kept me humble.
Yeah.
And now that I have 6 years, I really don't have anything. That's right. How my mind is conditioned. I just have today. I have today for 6 years now.
Right.
That's all I have.
Yeah. You just got 6 years of today.
Yeah. That's yeah. it. Because, you know, I've seen, I came across individuals in a room that had 20 years. My father had almost 20 years. And he one day, one bad day. Gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
For 5 years. You know, he's coming up on 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Clean again. But that one bad day turned into 5 years of bad days.
That's the thing. And that's the thing is that it's like the worst thing that happened, which is probably the thing that would happen, mm-hmm. were I to go drink in secret tonight or use, is that nothing would happen. The sky wouldn't fall. My wife wouldn't leave me immediately. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be able to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might even could pretend and keep doing the show and just try to live life like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then that secret keeps me sick and it pulls me deeper and deeper into it. And then before you know it, and that's the thing is like, that's what I love about your message is it's so raw and so, I don't say extreme because it's not really the right word for it. But it's like by any means necessary today, don't use. Right?
Right.
Like that's what you say. Mm-hmm. By any means necessary, whatever it is today, don't use. Because it's so important that we understand that one wrong choice today can lead us back, especially if you're using things like if you're using intravenously, if you're shooting up, right? And you're using drugs. I mean, you don't know if you get a hot bag.
Right.
If that's going to be the one that takes you out permanently. And so it's just, it's not worth it. And I guess it's, I don't know if trite's the word, but it's that kind of cliche, right? Play the tape all the way through. Like go all the way through to the end. How is this going to turn out for you? And yeah, I mean, I realized too, like, because I just celebrated 9 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and so.
Congratulations.
But it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's not though, right? It's just today, right? Like, that's the thing. But I know that I choose to be vocal about getting the 9 years because I want other people to know.
Absolutely.
That you can get 9 years.
Yep.
Right? That's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
But I think even for me, for a little while, I was like, took a lot of pride in my time, right? You know, and that's just ego playing its role,
right?
Right?
Right.
But what was different about this time that I noticed the most significant thing was the amount of other people who posted on my behalf about my 9 years. I was like, oh, maybe something's happening. Like, maybe this really does work.
Yes, yeah.
Because I almost didn't even need to post anything.
Right.
Because there was enough people that posted, you know, and that was like, it was humble. It was humbling, man. Because it was like, whoa, so this work, everything I'm doing is working, right? Which you don't see, which is the beauty of one day at a time.
Right.
Because my ego doesn't need to know all the good that might be happening through this show, through our platform, through all the work that we're doing, because my ego does what it does, right?
Right,
it likes to, you know, get a bunch of attaboys together and then, you know, throw that in with an all shit and then it's all gone, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that concept of one day at a time and the way it interacts with the concept of a higher power, which I think that in the moment is a key piece to connecting to your higher power and being present in the moment. That Absolutely. It's not a future thing. It's not a past thing, right? And I heard this illustration about an hourglass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about an hourglass, you have the top that's all empty, right? And that's all the past. And then you got the bottom that's filling up, but that's all the future. But where we exist is right there in the middle, mm-hmm. where it gets tiny.
Right.
That's the present. And that's all we really got. But a lot of us spend time up in that top portion,
yeah.
or in that bottom.
Right.
But we're in the middle. So as time goes on, we're just in that present. And that's the beauty and the gift that recovery gives you, people like me and you.
Absolutely.
Because if I'm not in recovery, I'm not in the moment. But I'm in the moment because I know that if I don't get in the moment, dude, I'll mess everything up.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's a gift of being in recovery. And it's, and I think I've heard you say that too. It's, I mean, it's, I'm not thankful for the pain I've caused in my addiction, but I am thankful for the fact that I'm in recovery today and that my life is what it is today because of my past. Because I know now that I have to be in the moment. I have to be right here with mm-hmm. you at this table, right? Like I have this thing, urgency, wrote on my desk right here so that I can be reminded.
Right.
What we're doing right exactly. here and now is urgent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I definitely understand that, man. And what you just said is so powerful about being reminded. A lot of people, like, a lot of my relapses is because for 16 years, I kept relapsing because I wasn't, you know, I would convince myself that the last one wasn't that bad.
Right.
Or, oh, don't worry, you can get away with this one.
Yeah.
You know, then I secrets over top of secrets, not remembering that I was just homeless with my family.
Right.
Oh, so now that we got a house and got a place, I can drink again.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, this disease will trick you into believing that it's not that bad or it won't get worse.
Yeah.
You know, or that won't be me.
Right.
You know, and once I got out of my way of that way of thinking, you know, that's when I realized it's time to go in.
Yeah.
You know, but then after I got out of that, in those times that I cried twice, I was crying for joy because, you know, like I said, I want joy and pain because I wanted to go use, but I remembered the pain.
Yeah.
I remembered everything that I went through. I remembered my family. I remember what I was working on. So I just cried.
Yeah.
Because that was the barrier. That was the wall that kept me between the, taking that ride or not.
Yeah.
And God presented that to me.
Yeah.
It was like it rolled down. Okay, I see you fighting. Let me put this in front of you to mm-hmm. think about.
Yeah.
You know, and most people, they relapse because they forget.
Yeah.
You know, you've been to Kensington. You see it out there.
Right.
You've seen it. Most of those individuals up there are because they relapsed.
Yeah.
They done been to, I met a guy up there. He said he's been to 50 rehabs.
Whoa.
No. On top of ODing 50 times.
Wow.
On top of trying to kill himself, but it never worked out.
Wow.
He's but back most out there again. Back out there again. It's because he's, you know, it's a mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, this is a disease, and it blocks off of your last run.
Mm-hmm.
This disease will tell you it wasn't that bad. Yeah. You got one more in you. Yeah. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your kids, and you will. You will be successful the first time, second time, maybe third, fourth, fifth. But eventually, the explosion is going to happen.
Yeah.
And when you, everybody knows what happens after an explosion. Everything around you is dead.
Yeah.
Everything is gone. Everything is gone. I've woken up that way multiple times.
Yeah.
Where I woke up, my family was gone.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a piece of furniture, pretty much, coming home. Because I've already given them away.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. And I keep that fresh in my mind today.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't the best father. I wasn't the best husband. You know, I wasn't even good to myself.
Yeah.
You know, but I know I'm doing way better than what I was doing before.
Yeah. Well, that's the gift of working with others. and why it's so important for us to work with others, right?
Right.
Because when you work with somebody who has a day or two, you're there's something cosmic that's happening there where you're reworking the step yourself, but then also you're being reminded of, yeah, that is how I was just as dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find myself being even more honest because I'm like, well, this is what I needed to hear, right? And that's what you're doing. Like, we were there with you a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Jolie, who says hi, by the way, she wished she could be here, but she was working.
Too. Okay.
But that was a profound experience for her. For her and I both. I mean, that night, it took me until that night. I broke down, and I just cried myself to sleep because. Mm. It took that long for it to seep into seeing just how messed up it is up there. And the need for what you're doing. And so I wanted you to tell me a little bit about what you're doing. And then you recently partnered with somebody up there, which is good to see that there's more people who are willing to go in there and do some work. So tell me a little bit about what that work is like and what you and who you've partnered with to do that work.
Okay. Oh man. So I partnered, not really partnered, but a guy reached out to me from he's in a halfway house. I believe it's called Cheers or Shears Halfway. It's a one of them home halfway houses, and every week they go up there and they give out food, clothing, and things of that nature, hygiene products. So I've decided to dedicate my time once a week to partner with them to go out to do community service and make sure everyone, you know, help out with giving things out, as well as we also do wellness checks pretty much. Like if we see somebody slumped over, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If, when they all leaned over, we'll go wake them up just to make sure they're breathing. Because a lot of individuals, when you see them slumped over, they can cut off their breathing passage and suffocate and die. And most of the time, you might think it's a relapse, I mean, an overdose, but most of the time they're suffocating themselves depending on which way they lean.
Right.
So I've been doing that now for the past, like, this will be my third week.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that I plan on doing continuously.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an amazing feeling.
Well, it's also part of the big vision for Soldiers for Recovery.
Yes, it's definitely part of the vision for my future as well, because ultimately I want to, I'm going to, not want to, I'm on a journey to have a recovery slash like community center.
Yeah.
Resource center. Soldiers for Recovery Resource Community Center for that area.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately me getting involved now is a major step towards my goal.
Yeah.
Of helping others, because it's terrible up there.
Yeah.
It's very bad, and so I added that on to my mission.
Yeah.
You know, after going up there and doing what I've been doing for about a year and a half now, it's much needed.
Yeah.
It's much needed. And, you know, and hopefully it'll save more lives. And me getting this resource center up there, community center, resource center, will help hopefully change the lives in that area, in that community forever. And I look to open up more across the state, not just Philadelphia.
Right, because it's not just happening there, right? It's happening. There's little pockets like that. Although I'm not sure that all the other pockets are as big and as, you know, robust as it is there. Like, it's pretty, it's about 4 or 5 city blocks, right?
Bigger
even
than
more
that.
Because it's, we it's didn't go into that. The heart.
No, we were actually 4 blocks from the heart.
Yeah.
It's like a mini town.
Yeah.
It's about 20 block radius both ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like a little city.
Right.
And you do have pockets of areas, but Kensington Badlands, Kensington Beach, that's the nickname. That's like the Las Vegas for addicts.
Right.
That's like, okay, that's like Florida South Beach.
Right.
So you have people from around the world, literally, like when people want to go to Amsterdam, you don't know. People here in America and outside of America, they want to come to Kensington to get high.
Right.
You know, that's like where you're the celebrity, you know, there, if that makes any sense. That's the spot to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the mornings, you know, they have lines. Lines. People will find out who OD'd that night and where did they get the drug from.
Oh.
And the addicts would go right there.
Yeah.
We want that.
Yeah.
Because the addiction will tell you they didn't know, the person that OD'd didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
But I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad because the police is right there.
Yeah.
Literally. The police is right there.
Yeah.
Watching this. But they are told not to do anything.
Yeah.
See, it's a political agenda in that area.
Right. There's something. That was one of the things I talked to somebody when I got home, and I was like, how does this not come up in the meeting with everybody? Like, hey, I'm representative, whatever, I represent this area. Hey, I'm representative, I represent the Kensington Beach area. How does not everyone go, hey, yeah, about that? Like, do you think you want to do something about all this drug use? Right.
And their plan is exactly what they're executing and what you see right now.
Yeah.
They're sacrificing lives right now. Because they want to open up what you call a safe house injection, a safe injection house where addicts can go and get high safely. They'll have a nurse and a doctor there.
Right.
And it's only because I have to be honest, it's only because of rich white people. Their kids are going down there getting high. Their kids are going down there ODing. So now, you know, or their kids are catching charges, getting cases.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't want that for their people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, but when it was another epidemic going on, the crack epidemic, they put, you know, people that were on crack and addicted to crack, they didn't label it a sickness or a disease. They locked them away.
Until it got into the suburbs. Got,
you know, until it reached the suburbs. But here, now they want to open up a safe ejection house so their kids and, you know, of course, you know, black people going to benefit too as well. You know, it's going to save some lives. I believe that, but I'm also against the idea as well, because if you look at it, people are dying. So I'm quite sure the state rep goes in there and he speaks and speaks, but it's somebody from a high pay grade says, listen, no. Yeah, so they have an agenda, a political agenda to get the safe houses open, and that's why they're sacrificing that area, and they don't care who dies or who lives. They don't care about anything but getting that safe house open and making the community, you know, support and back that safe house, period. And you should see kids. You got little kids up there. There's needles all over the place. All over the place. It's hepatitis epidemic up there.
Yeah.
It's little kids. I seen a young girl, 14 years old, shooting dope in the park. 14.
Yeah.
Another young lady, when you was up there, came across us. She was only 26. Gone.
Yeah.
So the state reps know what's going on. The senator knows what's going on. The government knows what's going on. They don't care until it affects their lives. Okay, so now it's affecting their lives. They're willing to sacrifice a few thousand people or 100 people per month in that area just to get a safe ejection house. They don't care about the kids that's out there seeing this stuff.
Yeah.
They don't care about none of that. All they care about is the safe house. They want the safe house so their people can go there and not be charged as criminals. Mm. Not be have this whole thing over this black, you know, cloud over their lives. You know? No. No, it's not right. And this is my first time speaking on this.
Yeah.
And it won't be my last.
Yeah.
It won't be my last, because something needs to be done. Something has to be done.
Yeah.
You
know? That's what you're working on with the Soldiers for Recovery is. And that's like, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what's mine to do, right? That's the question I ask myself. Like, all right, what's mine to do? So what's mine to do is, I know I go up there and I can tell the story, right?
Right.
And that's where you're settling into what's going to be yours to do, right?
Right.
Because you know, somebody said once, like, the best critique of an establishment is to just go do it better. Right?
Right.
And that's what I think the concept you have behind the Resource Center is a way for you to just go do that better. Right?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, there's different people have different thoughts, right? Like, on there is the philosophy and the approach for drug addiction treatment. It's called harm reduction, right? And that's what methadone would be, or Suboxone would be a harm reduction way. All right, well, let's just get it to where you're not buying an illegal substance that may kill you. Let's get it to where you're on something different, right?
Right.
And so harm reduction is a method that some people use, and that's probably what the concept behind this injection house, right, is some sort of harm reduction to be able to kind of control the type, the grade of whatever drug they're shooting in there, right, and be able to control the, well, shoot, and then that's probably where they're getting some money, right?
Absolutely, right. Big money, right. Big money. I mean, but you got, see, I'm looking at the full circle. Right. What about a couple kids that may want to try heroin or, you know, any kind of drug safely without going to jail?
Right.
Okay, we can go here. They're not asking for no IDs or how old you are.
Right.
We can go right over here. Now, here we have a child. What I mean by child is under 18. That's curious about using drugs. They don't have to worry about ODing because there's a doctor there or nurse there that's going to make sure. They can go in there and lie. Well, I've been using AB and whatever. What about that child that's curious?
Does anything like that exist currently in the United States?
No, but Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, it's where they want it to be.
That's where they want to
and
start.
And that's why you see Kensington that way. Because they want it in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we will be the first state
in
this country to have a safe house.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that we've, as being a nonprofit, that's one of the things that I was very intentional about the way that we went forward to do this, because being a nonprofit media company is not the best way to get money, right?
Right.
But in order to do it in a way that I would never have anybody come to tell me what I could or couldn't talk about or do.
Right.
Right. That's why it was so important, because the business of recovery is a really foul business.
Oh, absolutely.
And that, and when I say that, I don't want to discount the hundreds of organizations who are doing a great job at it.
Right. We're not talking about them.
We're not talking about them. Because they exist. They do exist.
Yes.
And if you call us and you message us, I'm going to try to plug you into those people who I know personally, who I know are trying to do the best they can for each person. Absolutely. They're not in the bed filling game. They're not in the body brokering game. But these are things that happen in the recovery world.
Absolutely.
They're brokering bodies. They're encouraging relapse. They have relapse discount plans, right?
Oh, yeah. Right? Definitely down Florida is Florida. That's all I'm going to say is Florida. Everybody know when I say Florida, they know what kind of business is going on down there. And the state reps knows it too. And the state reps back the doctors and the doctors back the patients. Go ahead, do your clean time. Take this $250. Go get high, come back. We're going to sign you back in.
Right. Releasing people with, like you said, with cash.
With
in hand.
Cash.
Right.
Instead of help.
And that's also the beauty about the anonymous fellowships, right, is that they organizationally, which I still don't, they're an unorganized organization, right? And so they've been able to maintain a purity in the message, right?
Right, right.
Because they never got it. And this is a free solution. And that's the thing, like, the solution's there free. And if you want it today, you just go online and Google it, and there's, I think at every, and I think there was 10,000 meetings happening online at 8 p.m. on any given day right now. That's the gift of COVID,
right?
Is that everyone's online right now. You want the solution. The solution's free. It's the thing is that people don't really want the solution.
No.
Right? Because the solution is God. It's getting honest with other people. It's dealing with your shit. Dealing with the wreckage of your past,
right,
and going through this process,
right,
and people don't want to go through all that. They just and that's what's interesting is that here's this free solution that's there. It's been available, right? And you and I both went to rehab because we needed that time to break away. And there are a lot of places that you can go to get what you need. And it's difficult, man, because if you have a child and you have someone that you love who's struggling, right? And what do? You Google recovery near me, a sober living near me, a recovery center near me. And what pops up is there are organizations that they create these websites. I had a company try to get me to hire me to do something like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't feel right. But essentially what they do is they have all these pages up, 50-100 different pages of all these kind of fronts of sober livings or recovery centers. And what they really are is a referral service. So every person that comes to them, they just refer them to a place and then they get a fee.
Yeah, they get a fee.
Which is technically illegal, right?
Okay.
But they have ways of working around all of that kind of stuff. So the industry is, you know, and I wasn't ready to talk about this, but I mean, that's kind of where we went. But the industry is, it's just like anything, right?
Absolutely.
Once you get that money involved,
uh-huh,
you got to start defending it, and you got to start building all these things to defend it.
Right, right. It's definitely, to every good side, there's a dark side.
Yeah.
It's a dark world to every element of life. And unfortunately, just like life that we're in, you know, there's a dark side to this addiction and being an addict and recovery. There's a thing that's called business. And I know how you feel and felt when someone asks you to be a part of something, and we just feel that something is not right.
Right.
Because everybody don't have good intentions. You have, and most individuals that are involved, they even were addicts before.
Yeah.
Some are even still using.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the other individual that never used in his life and is just all about money.
Right.
He has no passion, no love about someone who's sick that really needs the help.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about a check. Yeah. All about a check. And that's why I'm people like you and me, and that's why my resource center will be I'm not dealing with anyone who doesn't have the passion.
Right.
And I understand you might not have the passion as much as I do. But you got to have some passion.
Right.
You have to have some experience.
Yeah.
You know, I know accountants and stuff like that has to be different, okay?
Right.
That's the business side. But working for the resource center, you have to have these on your resume. You have to, because other than that, you know, I know you're here for, like, it's just like going to school. You know who's there, the teacher who really cares versus
you know.
The teacher who don't give a darn.
Right.
Rather you pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Soldiers for Recovery Research Center needs everyone to care.
Yeah.
I'm not, you're not there just to get a check.
Right.
No, no. We're here to help because we're fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah. Here.
You know, and I'm going to do it in a way, the way that I do it is going to be the way that it's going to be orthodox. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be based around step work. It's going to be based around life work.
Mm.
It's about life. This is our life.
That's it. Yeah, it is.
And it's a spiritual program. Whatever your spiritual program is, that's what it is for you.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a shoe.
Yeah.
But we're gonna make sure you get through this. And if you don't want it, we're not going to force you to get no check. This is not about money.
Right.
This is about your soul.
Right.
Soldiers for Recovery is about your life, getting your life back. So if you don't want to, I'm not in the business for a check to just get some money, government money start rolling. No, no, no. That's not who I am.
Right.
Because I got a higher power to answer to.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this right now because I'm not making any money or getting any money. No, when the money comes, you better be humble. You better be ready, and you better stay honest.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Because God, see, because the minute you start, somebody close to me just relapsed after 8 months.
Yeah.
After 8 months, because she wasn't honest.
Yeah, that's it. It's hard. It
wasn't honest.
Yeah.
It had to do with some money involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't live with yourself.
No.
Because those demons.
Oh, yeah.
And went right back out after 8 months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's hard.
That's, I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it.
No, I did. I had to do all, you know, I do all the finances for the ministry. And so I have to, you know, I go through QuickBooks and I have to go through, tally all the things, you know. And what's interesting is, like, one of our biggest line items is food, because we don't get paid.
Right.
So we feed volunteers, or we feed, you know, if we do something, we feed people, right? And so that's, like, one of our biggest line items. And and, you know, we always make the joke of, like, you know, buy us a burrito or something like that. But it is, and somebody offered to take care or take over those, that books. And I said, you know, I need that. I need to look through these receipts. I need to look through where we're spending our money.
Absolutely.
Because it is truly, like, I'm accountable for it, you know. And I need to be able to see, all right, where, what are we doing with it? And if somebody else is doing that, it's really easy for me to just kind of, like, remove myself
Absolutely.
From the accountability
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
You know? And so it is. And I mean, I think you're just in the beginning of this journey. And I think if anyone hears this or sees this and is as catches the fire that you give,
man,
right?
It's,
they can find you. It's on Instagram at Soldiers for Recovery.
Soldiers for Recovery.
Yeah. And that's the best place right now, is just DM you there.
Mm-hmm.
And then soon there'll be a website up. Soon there'll be more things coming for them to get involved. But you're in the beginning stage of what's happening here.
I haven't mentioned this yet, but Soldiers for Recovery is now a nonprofit organization.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah.
I've been nonprofit since June 26th. Yeah. I received my paperwork last month.
Yeah.
I'm also on, right now I'm getting my website and everything together. I'm at the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
Right now. I actually received my first, going to be receiving my first donation soon.
Nice.
You know,
congratulations.
'Cause I'm looking to get, like, scarves, winter hats, and things in that nature, because the winter's coming.
Yeah.
And I want to get some scarves, hats to give out. And if anybody would like to donate, you know, you can reach me via Cash App, SULHASSAM 428, or my PayPal, which is SULHASSAM 428 at Gmail.
Yeah.
If you guys would like to donate anything to help with that cause, to give out hats and scarves for the winter, I have to get that done before the winter comes. I'm looking to take anything you guys have, not, it doesn't have to be money. Anything you guys want to donate, clothes, shoes, sneakers, whatever, because they need it all. I mean, you got babies out there, man.
Yeah.
And I say, when I see that little girl, man, this was last week. I get emotional. I'm a very emotional guy, man. And it just reminds me of our kids. Like, you have a daughter, you know, and I saw her.
Yeah.
I saw your daughter. I saw my daughters. And I'm like, this is somebody's child.
Yeah.
You know, and she might be cold. That's if she don't die. You know, and they just need us. So all I know is, Soldiers for Recovery, we're going to give back.
Yeah.
You know, this is the beginning of something amazing, and I don't own it. God owns it. I'm just doing the work for God.
Yeah.
He's using me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it if it's going to get me another day.
Yeah.
If it's going to save someone's life. I don't care about nothing else. I want to help that child. I want to help that man. Grown, young, whatever. White, black, Puerto Rican, Haitian. I don't care. If they come up with another nationality, I'm there to help that individual too.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. And we're here with you, man. So, you know, I'm grateful for your time. I'm grateful for what you share. Grateful for your passion. And that you're going out there doing that hard street ministry. Street work is, it's hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're going to be here to support you along the way and keep sharing your message.
Thank Thank you.
And the Road to Recovery episodes are going to be coming out hopefully soon.
I can't wait.
And I think that's going to do a lot for what you're the work you're doing. People are going to get to see it firsthand, and
that's the one we powerful. Did.
That's what we did.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I had a ball.
Oh, it was great. Hey, yeah.
Listen, when you came up, oh yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. I said, I got to get down there.
Yeah.
Because I kept saying I'm going to get down there for
Yeah.
I said, he came up. I got to get down there.
Yeah.
I got to get down there. And I appreciate you having me. You and your family. You have a beautiful family.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I just appreciate it, man. This is so humbling.
Yeah.
And this won't be the last interview.
Nah, it won't. We're going to be working. All right.